Well, I feel very privileged to be here and also to have the chance to give my opinion first and to my reactions, or some of them, to the video. And I know I wasn't supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so there were a couple things I wanted to say that I really liked about it. First was the questions. I thought that there were some very, very, very good questions that were up there on the screen. The written questions is what I'm talking about. And, you know, in some ways, you could make a whole video just dealing with one or two of them. And I think that they really asked some very profound questions that we're going to go on asking ourselves probably for the rest of our lives, especially the last one, which I'll get to in a minute. I heard three things in here that really stuck in my mind, enough so that I wrote them down while it was going on. First, the idea that NAFTA was a model. And, you know, I think this is really important idea because it has something good in it as well as bad. NAFTA, and, you know, as the video does, going all the way back to 1964 and the Border Industrialization Program, and the kind of transformation of the Mexican economy and what economic development in Mexico meant from what it did during the years of the 30s and the 40s and the 50s to what it means now, was the model for the neoliberal, you know, enforcing neoliberal policies on other countries. So the idea of transforming Mexico from a country in which production was carried out for the sake of consumption in Mexico to a country that was basically an export platform, whether we're talking about agriculture or whether we're talking about the products of maquilas, the whole purpose of the Mexican economy has become one of satisfying the market here in the United States. And that was an enormous transformation. And NAFTA was part of it, as the video really, I think, very, that's one of the most important parts of the video, is that it says NAFTA is part of something bigger. And I think that that's kind of what it's part of. But, you know, you ask, why did the WTO talks in Cancun fail? And part of it is also because NAFTA was the model. And so other countries in Latin America, looking at the record, said, hey, thanks but no thanks. So that's a really important part of, you know, this whole idea of the model, because that's what gives us the opening for defeating NAFTA, not only in Mexico, but here in the United States, because after all, the purpose of this video is to show it here. And so it gives us an opportunity to be able to say, okay, we're 10 years along, what has been the impact of it? Another thing that was in here that I really... That really seemed very profound to me was when the guy in there says, you know, that Mexican farmers have been transformed into farm workers. And that's certainly true. You know, you think of, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Mexicans working in export farms, mostly in northern Mexico, but now, you know, this kind of production is really extending to Irapuato Valley, all throughout Mexico. And farmers who are not able to survive because of the reasons that were presented here are now being forced to become wage laborers on farms whose purpose is industrial farms who belong to either rich Mexicans or U.S. corporations, whose purpose, again, is satisfying the U.S. market. And the price of that is really terrible in many cases. You know, I've gone to fields in the Mexicali Valley and San Quintin in North Mexico, where you have a 500-person crew, and maybe 100 of the people working in that crew are under the age of 15. So it's basically, as you know, again, as the video said, people can't survive on the wages that are being paid. And so what happens is that it forces even children into the workforce because families can't survive on the wages of adults alone. And the last thing that I remember in here was what Hernandez Juarez said, who I think is a very important person, because he is, you know, one of the things that NAFTA did was it split the Mexican labor movement. You know, back in 1994, We had in Mexico the Congreso de Trabajo, which was a huge umbrella federation for almost all Mexican unions, not all, but most. And the Congreso de Trabajo split. And part of it was because increasingly within Mexican unions and Mexican factories, Mexican workers were in rebellion against union leadership that was part of the political structure that was actually trying to use the low standard of living and the low wages of Mexican workers as a magnet to attract investment from the U.S. to build more maquiladoras and then to export products back to the U.S. And so Hernández Juárez is the head of the new union that was created when that split took place. And what he said was that there are reforms that are being imposed on Mexico that are beyond even what are being proposed here in the United States. And that really caught me, partly because I've heard him say it myself, but also because it means something very, very important. And that is that one of the things that maquiladoras have done to Mexican workers, it's imposed a whole new set of rules. For instance, Mexican labor law is very progressive. And one thing that Mexican workers have is a real right to strike, which we do not have in this country. When we go out on strike, we organize a union, we go out on strike in a factory here, what happens to us? Well, the employer hires strike breakers and the police come and they divide our picket line by force or whatever, and the strike breakers go into work. Well, under Mexican law, if it's a legal strike, the workers get to put red and black strike flags up in front of the doors into the factory, and even the owner of the factory can't go in until a strike is settled. You know, we would give our eye teeth in this country to have a law like that. What's the reality, though? The reality is that there are very few, hardly any legal strikes or unions in Mexico, oficialista unions, that are willing to conduct them. And when workers try to organize their own organizations and then try and strike, as has happened time after time after time after time in the maquiladoras along the border, the police are brought in, and they do even worse things to those workers than our police do to us when they break our strikes. So in effect, even though the law says one thing, the reality on the ground is something very different. And what Hernández Juárez is saying is that now the World Bank has told the Mexican government, and Fox has agreed, that Mexico should reform its labor law, and that the reality should be written into law. Rather than enforcing the law that exists, what we should do is we should take what's actually happening on the ground, what the companies have been given permission to do, in essence, and make that what constitutes the legal right for workers in Mexico. So that's a very threatening thing, because what it says is that the structure of the law itself and all the achievements that Mexican workers won in the wake of the revolution, they're not worth anything. You know, that if they conflict with the effort to try and get foreign investment and build the factories and export to the United States, anything that gets in the way, whether it's the Mexican Constitution, the federal labor law, or whatever it is, you know, is going to have to give way. That's a very, very serious situation that workers in Mexico are confronting.